The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. The mother of Jesus and his brothers arrived at the house. Standing outside, they sent word to Jesus and called him. A crowd seated around him told him, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you." But Jesus said to them in reply, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" Looking around at those seated in the circle, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers and my sisters, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord. Today's first reading from the letter of the Hebrews, we get to the heart of redemption. The need for redemption came through the disobedience of Adam and Eve. And so the redemption was going to be brought about not so much by the sacrifice of Jesus' blood, but the obedience that led to the sacrifice of his blood. Today, that's what the sacred author tells us, that all of the blood of the bulls and the goats weren't enough to atone for sins. For this reason, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you didn't desire, but a body you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you took no delight. Then I said, 'Behold, I come to do your will.'" He takes away the first to establish the second. By this, "I am doing your will," by this will, we've been consecrated to the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Jesus' essential sacrifice was to give his life in obedience, loving obedience to the will of the Father. We can see this in a sense through what is happening between today's first reading, the responsorial psalm. You probably recognized, if you weren't too tired, that the letter of the Hebrews was quoting Psalm 40 today. But there was a change in the money quote, because the letter of the Hebrews is quoting the Septuagint 270 years before Christ, written in Greek, and the psalm is quoting the Hebrew. So in the Septuagint, we pray, "A body you have prepared for me." Whereas in the Hebrew, "But ears open to obedience you gave me." In essence, the body prepared for Jesus, the incarnation, is a big set of obedient ears. Jesus' whole humanity was to be able to say fiat, to say yes. We've discussed many times before that in Hebrew there's no distinction between the word to hear and to obey, because to hear God's word is to put it into practice. And Jesus came to redeem us precisely through that obedience. Then he says, "Behold, I come to do your will." So that's the first part of Jesus' mission, to redeem us through his holy obedience to the Lord in becoming the new sacrifice, that he became obedient, as the letter to the Philippians would say, "Usque ad mortem, mortem in cruce." And he became obedient even until death, death on the cross. But there's a second part of his mission. It's not enough for him to do all of that, to shed all his blood in obedience. The flip side of the coin of his mission is to help make us obedient. First, so that we might receive the fruits of his obedience, but then second, so that we might become co-redeemers with him. And that's what today's gospel is all about. When Jesus was alerted that his mother and his cousins were outside asking for him, Jesus used it as a teaching moment to say that his mother and his brothers and his sisters, the family he had come from heaven to earth to found, is composed of those who do the will of God, or in the other account, hear the word of God and observe it. Christ came to help us enter into his own holy obedience to the Father, so that the humanity we have may be an obedient humanity. Pope Benedict in Verbum Domini stressed that the essential sin is the refusal to hear and put into practice the word of God. And therefore, the essential act of faith is to hear and to do. That's what we see most poignantly in the Blessed Virgin, whom he cites here, because his mother is one who observes the will of God, who says, "Let it be done to me according to your word." But the entire mystical body, we could say, of Jesus' body was basically an ear that was obedient to the Lord. So the entire mystical body is likewise supposed to be an ear, hearing God's word and acting on it. That's why obedience is so important in the church, because it's a real sign of a willingness to be faithful to God. That's why disobedience is such a scandal. I don't know, sisters, how much you watch the news, but you know, the social media has been lit up since January 22nd with what to do with Governor Cuomo and all the Catholics who just flaunt church teaching, not on a minor matter, but with regard to the Fifth Commandment, and what should happen to them in these circumstances. Because it's got to be shown that they're just not good Catholics, and they've got to be warned that if they keep disobeying the Lord in this way, not only are they setting an incredible scandal, but they're tying a millstone around their neck to be thrown into the depth forever. There's a lot of debate going back and forth, but the disobedience of so many Catholics in high office is a scandal. The disobedience of Catholics in general to the clear teaching of the Church on any matter is a scandal. The disobedience of priests, when it comes to our bishops, there are so many who seek to do their own thing and basically leave bishops with a nuclear option, total suspension from the priesthood, or acquiescence to what the guy wants when he wants to stay in one particular place and not receive a transfer or anything else. Everybody on the outside of the church always is scandalized because their expectation is that the priesthood is kind of like the military. And if there is an order given to you, that you just follow it. Likewise, we see the extraordinary scandal of the disobedience among religious. Again, I'm not expecting you to pay much attention to the news all across the world. It's one of the things that I have to do as a writer, as well as working for the Holy See of the United Nations. But in India right now, it's a huge issue of the disobedience among religious women. And the media is constantly picking up on this, I think, to try to hurt the church. Every time a woman religious is disobedient to her superior, it almost makes the front page. When she refuses to turn over her money that she's making in her apostolate, when she gets a car without permission, and she gives these long, lengthy interviews saying that the general should have given her permission to get a car, that she was withholding it precisely so that she could do her work and all the rest of it. But at the same time, what is occurring is that the church is being injured. Because the church is meant to be a set of ears, faithfully and lovingly seeking the will of God so that it might be done. The saints are the great commentaries on this passage. They are the ones who follow the Lamb in using their bodies to obey. to do whatever the Lord is asking. They are the ones who show us how to offer our bodies as a holy and acceptable sacrifice to the Lord, our spiritual worship, but to offer our bodies precisely in obedience to God through the modalities that He gives us. In the great way, we rehearse that Christian virtue each day is here at Mass, in which we begin by hearing the Word of God as real consequential words, words that are going to be the light for our path. And we go from the verbum domini to the verbum caro factum est. As we obediently do this in Christ's memory and receive that body and blood of the Lord, and together with Jesus' body and blood, we offer ourselves to the Father in expiation for our sins and the sins of the world. Behold, Lord, I come to do.